Hello, Spellcast community. This is Andreel speaking. We have an announcement to make. Unfortunately, on August 30th, Friday, at approximately 11:30 p.m., the members of the Black Sam Bellamy Band, dear friends of ours, were in a terrible double car accident, a head-on collision. One member was seriously injured, and their dog, who was also present in the car with them, bore serious injuries that were almost life-threatening. Now, though they are well-esteemed performers, they do live to paycheck to paycheck, and they are trying their hardest to keep up with this tragedy that has befallen them. So, we at the Spellcast podcast and the Coven of Amorion Daimonikos would like to ask you to please consider donating to their GoFundMe page, which is entitled the Rowan and Rontu Recovery Fund. Rontu is the dog, and Rowan is the other person who was affected in a critical standpoint. This is entitled Rowan and Rontu Recovery Fund. That's R-O-W-A-N and Rontu, R-O-N-T-U, Recovery Fund. You can find that on GoFundMe, or you can simply copy the link that will be posted in the show notes. Again, we at the Coven and Spellcast ask that you please help these people in their time of need, as this can affect their living situation. We thank anyone who donates anything. Every dollar and every cent counts. Thank you so much, and please enjoy your next featured episode.
And welcome to episode 60 of Spellcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andreel.
Greetings, friends. Tonight, we are interviewing two lovely people from an awesome band that has quite the spiritual meaning attached to all of their songs.
Yes, that band is called Makes My Blood Dance, and we have them here with us. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
This is John Polamene. I'm on guitar.
Hey, it's Evan Russell Saffer. I'm the singer.
And Alex!
Yeah, sure. Alex is the bass player.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah, we're all here. We're in our studio. We were about to work out some new demos and record a little bit and write. And we're also working on our sounds. We're always tweaking our setup.
Cool. So I guess we'll start off with the genre that your band is, because it's super unique. So I'd love you guys to explain that.
Well, the most popular name for it is disco metal, but it's also dance rock or dance metal. I mean, basically, there's a big movement component. It's really groove oriented. And we love the marriage of like technical heavy metal or rock with groove oriented like melodic dancey stuff.
Interesting.
It came out when this is John, and I was combining all this with synthesizers, violins, industrial elements, and our first demo was all mostly programmed except for the vocals. So it was kind of in that industrial direction, and that's kind of where that unique sound came from.
Fair enough. What or who were some of your influences?
Well, I think in the earlier days, which I guess we're not that old as a band, we're somewhere in the realm of 2 years now, but I think in the early writing, we were really influenced by, like, I guess Rammstein, which had kind of a very groove metal vibe, and then more kind of soulful, dancey type stuff like the Revivalists, which are sort of a newer band with a throwback sensibility, and I don't know, some of the heavyweights like Korn, but more theatrical acts like Mindless Self-Indulgence is a little of that.
Volbeat. Did you hear Alex? He said Volbeat.
Oh, fair. Yeah. Fair enough.
So we all have kind of like heavy rock and metal backgrounds, but again, like we like kind of this groovy thing where we can just kind of bounce along to it. And
I think that's where the disco metal came from, because even though we had this aggressive sound, everyone just moving in the audience, and the girls really like it. People are dancing, people are moving, and that's kind of where the dance and disco came from, and that's what we're going for.
But I think as soon as we heard that and kind of came up with the disco metal thing, we sort of embraced it and started listening to like the Bee Gees a little bit and just saying like, hey, how could we really incorporate this and really get the beats and the grooves to like.
Yeah, it was two separate bands that that independently coined the term disco metal, and then we embraced that. You know, it was an outside opinion, and then we just let's see how we can make each song more of that.
Yeah, well, it's definitely an appealing name, and I'm sure that gets you a lot of interest just in that. How old is the genre again?
Well, I don't know how old the genre is. I mean, it's pretty. I haven't heard too many other bands, in the disco metal genre. I mean, especially doing what we're doing, I think that we're trying to marry some different ingredients, some different potions. <We're>
I like it.
New spell.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, you guys are like pioneers in a sense, and that always is really cool. Yeah. So. If you guys, you did kind of bring up, I mean, you know, mixing things together again, maybe a little bit of spell work kind of wrapped up in there. I know that we had talked about your songs having a very spiritual base. And as always, music is a release for people. So I know that that's really important to you guys. And Andriel himself is a musician, so I'm sure he's going to have really cool technical questions for you and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when John and I first came together, I had just gotten sober, which was, I mean, I'm sober about 3.5 years now, but I was just, and I still am in that headspace, because, you know, being sober and being in a 12-step program,
Evan, sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but just could you say that again? You were breaking up a little bit.
Right at the part where you said you had just gotten sober.
Yeah, so John and I came together like right in my early sobriety, which I still kind of am. But anyone who's in a 12-step program, it's very spiritual program, because it's really about connecting to a higher power and a power that's greater than yourself. And that's sort of like was my mantra and continues to be. And so a lot of the songs are geared towards that, like Beaming Right Up and other principles, like we're as sick as our secrets. And it's how to clear your inner self so you can connect to your higher self and your best self. And so a lot of the first song we wrote actually together was called The Power of the Light Side. And John's background is very Christian, and so we kind of had a meeting of the minds, and we liked it, and
I didn't have as big of a life change as Evan, but I came from another band that ironically we had just polished the song called Power of the Dark Side, and we played it at our last show. And then,
so yeah, Evan was coming out of the 12-step program, and
I'm still in it. But
yes, but Evan's been 3 years, 3.5 years, right, sober. When we came together, and I actually came off another project, the first song we made together was Power of the Light Side, and ironically, the song that I just polished off from my last project was called Power of the Dark Side. So, and that was actually the last song we played at our last show. So it was kind of it was a turning point for me. I broke up that old project before around the time I got together with Evan. So
which obviously has nothing to do with the Star Wars.
So it was and you know, in a way it was a different I guess energy with this new project that became Makes My Blood Dance. And I could go into it more, but you know, it was just a positive energy associated with this band, with this project and the people in it.
Fair enough. All right, so I'm going to want to elaborate more into some of your specifically favorite songs from the deepest spiritual depths. You spoke a little bit about John's background in Christianity. I would love for you all to elaborate a little bit on what exactly your spiritual beliefs are and how it is you came to this point, if that's not too personal of a question. Just so we can further give context to understanding where it is all of your minds come from and how where the differences and the similarities in the differences come together to create such a unique product of which we've had the privilege of being in front of.
Well, I feel like songwriting, you know, they're all sort of storytelling and confessions. and the way that I write is they're usually, you know, a product of a message or something that, you know, keeps me awake at night. Like I'm always looking for connection. And I think that all people are in one way or another, and we can't find it, or we get clouded by fear. And so many people turn to drugs and alcohol or other distractions. Now it's like social media and porn, and there's just so much of all of that. And really, the reason that those things are so popular is because we're all trying to feel connected. We're all trying to feel love and connected. And so the first step in trying to go to a deeper or higher power is to stop doing those things so you can get some sort of clarity and comfort within yourself. And it's funny to me because my whole life I thought I was this very deep, profound spiritual person. And I was really very, very clouded, and really still am. I'm really humble in regards to where I am, because, you know, getting sober is like the very first step. And because now it's like I'm just really unraveling all of my habitual distractions, my behavior, how I find comfort, my go-to things, and none of them really come from within. They're all like other people, my music, relationships. There's just so many things outside of myself. And so my biggest message and what I'm saying in the songs and where I'm striving for and trying to be in is to find connection within and somehow with the people that I'm making music with and for.
Interesting. So it sounds very, that almost sounds very Buddhistic in quite a way, or almost Gnostic, finding things inward and letting it go outward as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. I just listened to a podcast where I heard another musician talking about the best songwriting comes when he takes enough time for his mind to shut up, then he can really channel, you know, and that's exactly correct. And that's what I go for. And the thing is, when we perform live on stage, for me, it's very automatic, that channeling. I just go right into it. But the writing and the expressing of it musically, you know, with others, that requires a lot of like getting in the zone and patience and honesty and, you know, to each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's similar to us and like our spiritual practice as well, because we have to, in a sense, get in the zone as well. We're channeling things, we're doing rituals. There's a lot for us to kind of have to calm our minds and center and focus. And a lot of magic is directing energy. So you have to be able to, you know,
calm that within yourself, find the energy source within yourself or from another power, and be able to channel it. So in essence, we're doing the same thing, just maybe for I wouldn't even say a different end. I would say it's pretty a similar end as well, because we're all looking for that healing. People pick different paths to get there, but at the end of the day, I think all people are finding that balance between the power in themselves, what they get from the outside world, and like kind of bringing everything together.
I agree. And I think many of the ancient teachings also agree that, you know, they all strive for the same things, just a different way of getting there or calling things differently. Yeah, I've studied a lot of them. I mean, I've studied religion and culture in college, and I've studied witchcraft also. And I practice more like Vedic traditions of meditation and connecting and the guru. They definitely strive to promote a peaceful serenity that's based around love. And that's what we go for. That's what we go for. It's what we all want. You know, that's like the one universal truth. Like, no matter what your angle, your personality, or your musical taste, like, everybody wants to be loved. That's it.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. I mean, you know how with different religions, people tend to polarize themselves so much, but really in the end, we're all searching for the same thing. And that's why Andreelle and I have a pretty eclectic practice. I mean, we draw from all different pantheons and all different cultures, and we appreciate everything that those cultures and religions have to bring. And, you know, it's really important to appreciate that and to just realize that everyone wants the same thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to think about where certain things come together. If you study many different backgrounds, you see that a lot of the same symbols, a lot of the same understandings of mathematics and science and how it is they come together, but the different perspectives that cause it to change modally. But the idea, though, is that it's all the same, which is a fascinating thing to me, which I suppose would lead to such a specific genre of something like disco metal. It's really fascinating to me. I've listened to a lot of genres of metal, but I actually never heard it before I'd come across you gentlemen. So thank you for introducing me to that.
Thank you. It's really good to speak like on this level and connect the music and spirituality. And I think that's what we want to do without getting too pretentious. You know, that's the difficult thing. And a lot of people do that too, right? They hear the word God or spirituality and they kind of write it off because there's also been so much like historic oppression and, you know, non-acceptance. So, you know, It's refreshing to be on this podcast, and thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, of course.
Anytime. On the topics that you and Courtney were speaking of a second ago, it's interesting to see where people's interpretations of certain spiritual backgrounds comes from simply by their understandings of morals and ethics. And people tend to use those words very interchangeably. Ethics tend to be more so like it's what's universally agreed on by people in society, and morals are usually something you develop on your own, but people tend to exchange and intertwine, or they just get their morals from ethics, which that can be very dangerous, or they look at morals in a very black and white sort of way, like sometimes very like right-hand ways of looking at things, look at things as exclusively bad and exclusively good, whereas left-hand path things kind of look at it all as like a melting pot. And I always say a big thing is that we say on our podcast is just like, well, if there's a left-hand path and a right-hand path, one, I suppose, would have to admit that there's an ambidextrous one as well that can see these things depending on the severity of what needs to be judged, what needs to be assessed, what needs to be created, and where we need to draw our energy from in order to create something unique enough to be a reflection of who we are and where it is we draw that energy from.
Yeah, and in the future, we're going to be talking about really the magic in music. So you guys are a great way to introduce that topic to our listeners, because while Andrea might be talking about more quadrivium related things and more on the like kind of technical side, it's good for people to see how it works in mundania as well. And obviously it's not even mundane in like, it's not in the negative sense. It's just you guys really connect to everyday people. And that's a goal, is to bring people together, to bring different communities together. Your genre itself is a mashup of different types of music. And so hopefully getting those different people together to listen to something that they might have in common. And I know from being at your show, we really enjoyed it. It was so different. And like you said, people get up and they dance, and dancing is its own form of spirituality. People dance to connect with higher powers, to connect with themselves and other people. So to have all those things come together is great. And, you know, so it helps you guys in your own personal journeys. You guys are definitely going to inspire other people. I mean, that's just what music and musicians do. And, you know, with in regards to your new single and some music we were talking about, definitely if you want to let us know now, go song by song, go in depth as you want to the background of how you came up with it more specifically, maybe the, you know, the inspiration for it or how you wrote it, something like that. Because I know we talked in general about your inspiration, but if you guys want to go over specifics for the songs, that'd be awesome.
So the first single was called Beaming Right Up, and we did a video for that, which you can see on our YouTube channel, and check it out at makesmyblooddance.com, or use that tag on YouTube and Spotify everywhere. But Beaming Right Up is definitely about connecting with a higher power, and it's about like kind of this new step forward where I just feel like we're taking strides and we're headed in the right direction. And the lyrics sort of talk about, there's always going to be something, there's, you know, blood on the buttons, or I don't know, I use that because I like the meter of it, but it was meant to mean that every day there's just always going to be obstacles. But one of my prayers and one of my kind of spells, if you want, is I have everything I need to overcome all obstacles today. And it's sort of like a self-actualizing thing. Instead of asking or begging or praying for something to actualize, it's sort of the manifesting of it by like a statement where it already exists, and thank you. And like being in that state of manifesting your reality. So
it's a very affirmative song.
That's right. And that's exactly right. And so that's Beaming Right Up. And, you know, our video was sort of like that, where it shows us in this environment where everyone's very elevated and dressed up and dancing and celebrating. And then it shows clips of the band live. And so we were in this environment that was, you know, we kind of dressed everybody up like Great Gatsby, like 1920s meets, it had this kind of Middle Eastern tea house vibe. It's really interesting, and the set was just fantastic, and the hair and makeup people did an incredible job on the countesses that we were dancing with. So you should check out the video for Beaming Right Up. And and then we just recently wrapped the second video, which is for the single Sick Is Our Secrets. And that one, the video is coming out September 17th. It's gonna premiere on puregrainaudio.com. If you can't remember that, just go to makesmyblooddance.com and it'll be there too. And Sick As Our Secrets is the imagery for the video is more of kind of a grainy, grittier type of high school vibe where we're all trying to fit in and be a part of, but the main character, the kid in it, he has this kind of dark home life where he's having a difficult time, and we all kind of have something, right? Whether it's your relationship or your work or your resentments, whatever you're carrying around, whatever your truth is, that's what's clouding you, right? And that's the part that you have to maybe be vulnerable about or be honest about or somehow get out there. And then once you can do that and you can find the best in yourself, and then hopefully find the best in others and connect. That allows you to connect with others, right? So that's the whole thing. And a kid is having a very difficult time with his home life. He's having a very difficult time with his peers. You see him like wanting to be a part of and the too cool for school kids not letting him. And then he sees the best in one of these girls, and he sees her as this incredible dancer and artist in his dreams. And that's the reality that he wants to manifest. So it's sort of like his journey, and you see the band like sort of inspiring him along the way through our music. And that's really the message of that video. I don't know if it's too complicated. I hope people can grasp it.
But we've been, it's very, that's a very interesting concept though. I like it. It's like your band is
a medium
point between two different realities, like, you know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's how we shot it, where there's like reality and dream sequences, and reality was very dull and it was black and white and it was dim and it was uninspired, and the other kids who were very glamorous and thought that they were so full of themselves really on the inside were very uninspired and colorless. But this kid, when he was seeing the best in someone and being vulnerable, was able to connect with this very colorful, alive and inspired person. And she was the dance sequence in the dream. And again, you know, we got this dancer, this Olivia Greco was starring in this video, and she has this modern take on ballet, and she's absolutely incredible to watch. When we saw her reels and stuff, when we were casting for the video, we were just blown away, and we got incredible footage of her executing, you know, the dream. And it's going to debut September 17th on Pure Grain Audio, Sick Is Our Secrets video, and or go to makesmyblooddance.com and check it out.
Well, we are definitely really excited to see that. And we can definitely say that, you know, all our listeners should totally check out your other music video and your other music. Again, we really enjoy it. And actually, you know, I can't believe I didn't think of this before, but I wanted to ask too, what's the inspiration for your band's name?
So when we first came together, you know, obviously we wanted something to incorporate all of our spiritual stuff and also encompass the type of music we wanted to make, which was like this inspiring dance oriented metal. And I had kind of put forth a lot of names, we all did. And I guess being the principal lyricist, I had a lot to say, as I always do. But I wound up taking this one phrase from a poet that I love. His name is Chris Poindexter, and he puts a lot of his poems on Instagram, and that's really how he gets them out there. And he types them on his typewriter. It has like this old typeset, which I kind of love. I'm sort of like a hopeless romantic. And he, almost all of his poems are very love oriented, which my writing is also. It's always about wanting to connect, you know, and in a loving way, and with someone or to someone. And see, that's the hard part for me though. Like, I can't make someone my higher power. I want to be clear enough to channel my higher power and then connect with somebody. And that's what we really all have to do, right? Is not necessarily be needy, but become like a self-sufficient unit so we can be bright and have an inner light, and then find someone else who's also in that state. And then what kind of light can you make together is enormous, right? You could change the world.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, you want to make sure that, again, yeah, it's good to be two wholes kind of coming together instead of that old,
right,
like half and half thing.
That's exactly right. And most of us get so caught up in like, what can you do for me mentality, rather than like, hey, here's where I am. What can we do together?
Yeah, and building stuff together. I mean, Andrea and I are definitely in agreement with that, because that's what we do. That's why, you know, we have our podcast here. That's why we have our own spiritual business. And that's why we do so many things, is because we just want to build that world together, that community. And, you know, that's why we're doing SpellCon soon. And that's becoming a thing, is because when you kind of, you know, all the things you're saying, you manifest, you put out intentions, you use affirmations, and you use those lights that you have, and you find those other people that are those other lights for you, and you come together and you really build things.
Yeah, I can feel that from you guys. You've got a big energy, and I think that the best relationships are the ones that work together. And even if you don't work together to build something together in your livelihood, even if you have two totally separate careers or whatever, you still have to build together and be together and spend time together. And that's something that I've really like learned in my own life. I know John has it in his life. And it's, and we also have it together, the, you know, the bands, right now. And it's wonderful when you really want to be together and work together and build together. And that's the good stuff. But yeah, back to the name of the band. So Chris Poindexter, he writes about his girlfriend, and he was writing a poem, one in particular, which had some random title. I don't even remember. I should look it up. But he said the line in the poem was, "When I look at her, she makes my blood dance." And I just thought, that's everything that I want, you know, from my connection to love, where my whole self just lights up with, you know, in love with whatever it is, my music, my partner, my higher power, my guru. And I'm like, that's a great phrase. And I just pulled that part, makes my blood dance. And I put it on this like arbitrary list for the guys that I was like, hey, what do you think of these band names? And I kind of tucked it in there. And I remember them just, they were the ones who were like, that's the one. And I'm like, okay, cool. I like that one too. there were some other like one word names in there that were so flat. And I'm like, God, please don't choose these other ones. But I just wanted to like see if it would make the cut.
Do you remember any of those, if you don't mind sharing?
John, do you remember some of those?
Oh, boy.
Alex, do you remember any of those? Nope.
I think I had this one, One Past Hope.
Oh, One Past Hope.
Which is too metalcore, negative, emo. Then there was...
One Past Hope was in the running, though. I kind of liked that it was a few words. But it seemed like dreary. You know, it seemed too cerebral, and yeah, it just wasn't us. It wasn't us.
It's not original.
Like One Past Hope and then Makes My Blood Dance. It's like, oh God, thank God we went with Makes My, that's so, like,
I just imagine,
so alive.
Yeah.
But I remember my question about Makes My Blood Dance. I asked him, it's something about drugs. Well, the whole story.
But you know what, even if it is about drugs, like, what are drugs designed to do, right? They make your blood dance, right? They light you up. So even then, it like still sort of makes sense without championing drugs. It's like, you know, there's no doubt that like taking drugs gets, the point is it's artificial. You didn't get there on your own, and then you crash and you feel like hell. Yeah. Afterwards, and you go to hell. So that's the whole point. It's like, okay, yeah, you discovered drugs, you discovered what you may be capable of, and guess what, in a spiritual way, in a magical way, you can get there on your own and go so much further and stay there so much longer. That's the prize, you know. That's what we all want. So I was okay with that question when, you know, you said about drugs. I was like, all right, yeah, fine. there's a lesson there. It's a hard one.
It's very interesting. Your title, along with your music, seems about this transcendence of. It's like a person who originally thought that this was the glass ceiling, but it kind of also shatters the glass ceiling. It's transcending from within, you know, taking something and going and finding a more limitless sort of power source. It kind of reminds me of the story of Hanukkah, to believe it or not, like the whole like oil, like, lasting one day, but it lasted for 8 days. That sort of spiritual transcendence, which very much to a number too. I mean, it's an infinity, really.
I love that story. I have Jewish blood as well, and I've heard it many times. It's a beautiful story of, you know, hope and power and faith.
My, this has been fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you guys are. Really great to talk to. It's really good, I think, to share what you're doing. And because you guys do have a really good message, it's sure going to help other people, especially our listeners. And hopefully, you know, your fans come and they'll check us out and listen to this and get to know you more, because I mean, that's what it's all about, right? We had you on here. We want to spread the word. We want to connect to different people, and to show people again that, you know, we always want to bridge that gap. So this is what we're doing. We're bringing in other forms of spirituality and maybe inspiring people to find their own path and mix things together. There's definitely a lot of spell work you can do with music to begin with. And
can you tell we're in Brooklyn? The sirens.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're parked.
It happens. You know, podcasting is not infallible. And it's great because people that listen to them are totally cool with it. And that's what I love, again, about the people that listen to us is they're really the best people. So, yeah, I mean, again, connecting, making that spirituality, showing people there's different alleyways and avenues to get there. And music also, you know, with dancing and playing it, and either you're the musician or you're listening to it, it does change people. You can see different areas of your brain light up. You can feel it. It's a spiritual experience to listen and play music. So, you know, if you guys right now want to take the end of this episode to let us know any other ways that people can find you.
And
you
also
know,
perhaps your up and coming performance schedule and venues.
For sure.
The best way to find that out is just to check out makesmyblooddance.com. We're connected to bands in town, but we're also on Songkick. I mean, we're on all of them. So it's like, just remember the name of the band, go to the website and you can track us that way. We're on Facebook. Our dates are posted there.
Instagram.
Our next Long Island appearance, which is our next live appearance, is September 12th at Revolution Music Hall. We're sharing the bill with Richie Ramone's solo project.
Oh, okay.
So very looking forward to that.
Richie Ramone of the Ramones.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Original Richie Ramone. And then also in the area, October 4th at Blackthorn 51, we're throwing together a big charity ball. What is the name of the charity? I forgot. SmartRecovery.org. It's about personal.
No, that's not October 4th. So that's something else worth mentioning.
Oh, okay.
So we should mention that when we headline, which is most of our shows, we align the show with a charity. So it helps create awareness, and we give 10% of the show to that charity, donating the proceeds. And it helps the other bands on the bills, you know.
Every ticket that's bought, a little bit of that goes to the charity.
That's right. And most of the charities are, you know, towards I guess causes that we believe in or our fans believe in, mostly children or addiction, animals, the environment. Those are some of the big ones. But October 4th, I think that one is, we're calling it Winter is Coming, the Masquerade Ball. And that one is actually Sex and Love Addiction.
Yeah, I think it's a part of SmartRecovery.org.
Oh, it's a part of Smart Recovery. Okay.
/sex and love addiction. And
right.
Yeah, we celebrate Halloween all month long.
As you should.
Which so, I love.
So yeah, it's a masquerade ball.
Yeah.
And yeah, I a lot of Long Island scene comes out to that venue as well.
That's at Blackthorn 51 in Elmhurst, Queens. That's right.
So, yeah.
But all these dates and tickets and everything about each show and each charity, if you click on it, you can read about it. It's on makesmyblooddance.com, on our Facebook also, just /makesmyblooddance.
Cool. And you guys are in Brooklyn right now, right?
Yes. Yep. Our studio, our home studio is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. So, you know, the background noise is definitely understandable.
Right. But we tour all over the Northeast, and we've got tons of dates. We're playing almost every weekend to the end of the year. We're already working on the treatment for shooting our third video for the third single, which is The Power of the Light Side. We're going to shoot that in October. And when you called, we were actually demoing new material. We're hoping to continue recording new music in the new year.
That's really awesome. You guys have a lot going on. I'm so happy.
Yeah, we're really active, and
we're writing right now.
Very cool.
In the studio, so, yeah.
That's great.
Fair enough. Is there anything else you would like to tell your friends or the Spellcast podcast community that we should take home about you all as a whole?
Yeah, we just have about 52 things we need to mention here.
Fair enough. Go right ahead.
We could talk forever, but I mean, look, we love to share, you know, we love to connect and share. So thanks for having us. And maybe we could do a follow-up, like, and, you know, check in later on and, you know, we'll talk about our progress or.
Cool. Talk more specifics. Unfolding process.
Yeah, I mean, there's endless stories, right? I mean, we go on the road, we love to meet people, we love to meet new fans and friends, and that just creates so much content.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be so much to talk about the next time we get together.
Yeah, but I think we've said a lot, so I mean...
There's a lot to say, a lot of stories, a lot of... Yeah.
Alex, you want to chime in?
I'm good.
Alex is good. And a few words.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys again for coming on. Just a little bit with us. We'll wrap up the show with, you know, letting people know that if you want to see them, again, he's mentioned a lot, but you can go to makesmyblooddance.com. For us, you know, for Spellcast Podcast, we are found on Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, Twitter. And now we have a new shop, which I will put the detail in the show notes. We have a link tree now. So for us, the easy way to find everything with Spellcast is through that link tree that will be in the show notes. But yeah, so thank you guys. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror. Are you looking for something new to do this October? The Coven of Armonia Daimonicos presents to you SpellCon.
October 19th, you can join us for an amazingly spooky and magical event. It's going to be held at Katie's of Smithtown on Long Island. We will have people from all over the country coming to provide you guys with some magical divination. We're going to be having lots of vendors and really amazing performers as well.
Yes, performances by the international singer Stefano Andreotti and the Black Sam Bellamy Band are among a few, along with some of our other favorite podcasters in the area.
Yes, so hopefully we'll see you there too. And if you would like to buy tickets or for more information, you can visit our link tree, which is in the show notes. And we hope to see you there.
And remember,
there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.
Plus, if you come, you get to meet us and hear that live.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.